Life is full of what-ifs, some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hello and welcome to the Red Men TV. It is the Uncensored Match Build-Up Show. It's Liverpool hosting Burnley at the weekend, and I am joined by Tom, Bailey and Ross for this one. Tom Dutton, first and foremost. We normally start the show, and the recent way of starting the show is the biggest game of the season so far. So I'm going to change that up a little bit and go, there's 9 huge games left in this Premier League season right now, and everyone's going to feel as big as the last one and the next one. Right now it's Burnley up next, and it's got to be must win at this point.
I know, they all are. It's mad. I mean, the amount of pressure on us now, just in terms of from internal pressure as well, just trying to keep it up, trying to keep it going. And we say it's massive big 9 games because they're all winnable games. And that's the thing, is if we drop points in any of them, there's got to be serious questions asked. The last 9 games, only 3 of them are in the top half, I think, and the rest of them are bottom half. And that's what we've made a whole season out of, is beating these teams and being really, really consistent. So I have all the faith in the world that we're going to do it. If we don't, then you've got to look at the squad and think, why not? What have you done wrong?
Yeah, that's it. Listen, I think, Bailey, it's pretty easy to say. If Man City win out, they'll be worthy league winners. Yep. If Liverpool go and win all 9 games, I think we'll be league winners, to be honest with you. I don't see that Man City will win out. But how are you feeling at the moment heading into this one?
Do you know what? I don't know if you've seen it upstairs yet, but on the whiteboard, I decided that I'm going to write all the 9 fixtures out that we've got, all the 9 fixtures that City have got. And it's put things into perspective for me quite a bit, because like Tom said, we've got Chelsea and Tottenham. And we wrote out 3 points, 1 point, where do we think that we're going to pick up and drop points? And I think we put down 1 draw as our sort of predicted outcome for the season. We looked at cities and they've got Leicester, Palace, United, Spurs. They've got a lot of sort of points in that season and in the rest of their games where you're like, that could be a hiccup. So to me, it's a case of, like Tom said, these 9 games for us have got to be the best 9 games we've ever played, and they've got to be comfortable. Realise that we are still in the driving seat compared to the games that City have got. We've got the preferable sort of running. So yeah, I'm
so to answer the question,
nervous still from the start of the season.
Okay, and listen, I think you make a good point there, but one thing I will say to sort of just to see what your thoughts on it are. Did anyone, like, I don't think that's healthy doing that personally. People cope in different ways. People cope in different ways. For me, if I wrote down all the results that Manchester City have got this season, I would never have predicted a Newcastle loss. You know what I mean? And that's for me, is the difference is you just can't predict football in that way. Yeah. If we could, we'd all get 10 team accumulators every week.
Oh yeah, we won the league, by the way. On this board, we've won the league.
Well, 1 point.
You know to what? Make ourselves
Did you do
better.
The Liverpool Echo thing the other week?
Yeah, that's exactly why we've done it.
Mate, I had us winning the league on that as well.
Yeah.
But then I also had us winning at Old Trafford and Everton in those games. Yeah, so, yeah. You know what I mean? That's kind of the point that I'm trying to strive at there. Ross, where are you? Where's your head at, mate? Is it on the floor or on your neck?
I feel like I've had a lot of therapy this week, to be honest with you, a lot of closure. One of the things to deal with that is to filter out social media and the backlash of it now. I think we've seen that, you know, the West Ham, Leicester games, we know what it's like afterwards. And you said this before, you know, it can skew your opinion or skew your mood. You make your own judgments. If you're pissed off after the game, that's completely fine. I think everyone in here was pissed off after the game, but you don't go and lose your head afterwards. I think we're all pretty level-headed in this office. It's not ruined it, but it kind of taints it when, like, you see Liverpool fans kind of at each other's throats on the internet, and like, it's fine to have a divided opinion, but the word bottle job is going around loads, and that's not, I can't engage with someone who uses that term. So if I said to you, we fucking bottled it, you kind of go, you dickhead. But I said, actually, Chris, I think, you know, City are going to be hard to catch this season. You'd have a discussion then, isn't it? So it's the terminology that people use that's dead toxic, that I hate. That's slowly getting less this week and kind of getting towards the Burnley game and get excited about it now again. And it's another home game. We know what our home crowd is like. Singing the hearts out. We saw the last home game, you know, the Watford, how good it was. And I think that was not Liverpool's fault, but after the Watford game, we're all on that high again and going, right, we're bang up for this again to go to an Everton draw, which is a completely different type of game where form goes out the window. And I think people kind of forget that and go, well, we won 5-0 now, we're going to walk the rest of our 10 games. It doesn't work like that. But again,
unfortunately it doesn't.
But again, I think, you know, home crowd behind us, the confidence that we've got, I don't think the players will be as half as affected as we have been as fans. And I just think they'll go out there and go and do the job.
This has been a mad week for me, and I don't know whether you'll agree with this one, Tom, but for me, you know, the Everton result at the weekend, it is what it is. We can't change that now. It's felt like I wasn't quite ready to start talking about Burnley, even at the point of this show, to be honest with you. That's interesting. Yeah. I was done with the Everton, and I was kind of enjoying the break where we'd done all the Everton content, and we hadn't, for the first time, normally when we're two games a week, you're like, fucking post-match, pre-match. And I've been kind of in that routine where to have a couple of days just to breathe, almost forget about it, actually enjoy the Champions League footy midweek and not focus on whether Liverpool are going to be playing and how we're going to be playing. I've kind of enjoyed that break. And then now, I think it's probably a good job, but I am kind of ready to talk about Burnley. But I don't know, where do you sit on it, Tom?
I'll be honest, I really enjoy just, after a loss, after a draw, I want to move on and go to the next one. And that's purely because I understand that this team does its talking on the pitch. That's why I hate transfer season, because there's all like stipulations and, oh, this could happen, this. No. Forget about that. Forget about transfers. Forget about things that aren't on the pitch, because this Liverpool side do magical things on the pitch. And yeah, look, a disappointing result against Everton, then giving someone a chance to, giving these players a chance to redeem themselves, and they do it every time, they do it consistently, they go, okay, bad result, let's go again and let's show everyone why we're where we are. Everyone seems to think after that Everton result, all the players that got us to the position where we are aren't good enough or shouldn't be in this team, shouldn't even be in the squad. You're thinking, sorry, these are the players who have got us where we are. These are the players who fought for you. And these are the players who you've praised after certain games and said they've had a great game. Why are you forgetting about that now? And that's that. I understand exactly what you mean in terms of you needed a break and stuff, but the break gives people time to like stew over things and go, oh, this wasn't good enough, and now I've got two more days of thinking it wasn't good enough, and then worrying about, because that wasn't good enough, is it going to be good enough there? Forget about that. Give them a game every 2 days and just let them show you how good they are. I don't know. That'd be
interesting, because you wouldn't get the fallout from post fans, would you? Because you wouldn't have time to complain. Because I think that's the one problem that I think that a lot of teams have, a lot of fans have, is that the fickleness is that you need that instant gratification after a loss. You need to get straight back on the horse and show us that was just a blip. And it's when you have those delays for some fans, it's just sort of nail-biting, because you don't know what team's going to show up. Is it going to be the Watford 5-0 from the week before, or are you going to get the 0-0 that drew at Everton? So it's like you want those quick answers just to sort of wash away the slate.
And this is the thing. This is fans we're talking about here, and just fans.
Yeah.
Because you know, after a draw at Everton, the lads maybe, I don't know whether they have a day off or they have a recovery day or whatever, but then the focus turns to the next game. Yeah. And they're not thinking about that result. They're thinking about how to improve, how to get better, how to beat Burnley. Mm-hmm. And this is just something that we have to deal with as fans. And that's the thing that baffles me, is we don't make any difference, you know, in the week.
Yeah.
We make no difference whatsoever. This squad's focused. This squad's looking forward to that Burnley game and stuff. And Ross, you know, Liverpool have got to be ready for the fight against Burnley. Mm. And it will be a fight, because, yes, they're five...
Literally.
Well, yeah, they're 5 points clear, 5 points clear of the relegation zone as it stands. Yeah. But they lose a game and Cardiff win. Mm. and all of a sudden it's 2 points. So we've got to expect a dogfight in this game.
Yeah, that's funny enough, when Bailey was doing that thing upstairs, and we're kind of going 3 points there, 3 points there, and you're like, no, because some of them teams will be in a relegation battle. It's not as simple as that anymore, particularly with Burnley, who are a physical side. So when you said fight, I just threw back to the reverse fixture where Jose Gomez got injured and they were throwing challenges about and stuff. I expect them to do exactly the same thing again, and that will stop our fluidity, stop our flow of the game, because that's the only way that they can stop us. Having said that, though, when you say about learning and going on, Liverpool should have learned from that last fixture to know what that's exactly what Burnley are like, and try and find something to counter that, or them themselves be up for the fight and put themselves about.
You've got to counter it, though, because we've got the bottom five in this last run. That's what we've
that's
got.
Tough. Yeah. So it is tough. People think that's good. I'm not sure.
No. I think it is good because of if you look at the goals against column. Like, barely 53
but
goals
conceded.
It's
a completely different thing.
Of course it is, but there's a reason why they're down there.
Yes, but there's also a reason why great escapes happen every single season.
Of course, yeah.
Because these teams, when they're fighting for their life, they're like a friggin'... The game is a badger, you know what I mean? Yeah, a badger in the core into a corner, it's going to come out swinging. Oh, yeah. And that's what these teams are. So looking at the bottom five and going, you know what, we've got to play them, that's sound. That's not sound. Yeah, I'd rather a team between 7th and 12th and be on the beach. No danger of relegation, no danger of European football.
Just to say what Tom was saying there, though, there's a reason why they're down there, and that's the quality. And that's the difference if you're playing like a Man United or an Everton who part of the bus. I know they didn't essentially do that, but who were good at defending, or Bayern Munich who are really good at defending. They're that low. We should have enough quality to, if they are going to do that, we have the quality to beat them.
But for me, it's the case of we call this nine cup finals towards being top of the table. It's the same for them. It's nine cup finals to avoid relegation. It's just looking at the other side of the coin, and they've got five of the top six to play still, and Cardiff.
Well, they can't afford for draws either, though, can they?
No. You know what that means to me? I think draws are all right for them at this point.
That's
a danger.
Yeah.
Because that means they start the game with something to lose.
Yeah. They think, right, if we draw against these five teams, we park the bus, a result of anything but a draw, then it's a case of we beat Cardiff. We've won that relegation battle, because that's the one game in their diaries they're going to look at and think that's what our season tilts on. The rest of these five teams, they don't expect to win. But it's a case of, do they then want to come out and give them a game? Give us a game at those five teams? Because you look at it and it's not like you've got two teams in the top six that you've got to play. So you can sort of say, oh, we'll give those away. It's five of them.
Yeah.
Can you afford to sit back against five of them?
No.
Well, it's one of them. I think if they do sit back, any of these five teams, it's Burnley, Southampton, Cardiff, Fulham and Huddersfield, if any of them five teams decide to sit back, I think we've got the quality, and it's getting back to that first part of the season where we were grinding out wins. It's what City are doing at the moment, and we don't need to click, we don't need to be perfect, we just need to be solid at the back, recycle possession when they try and break on us, because that's their game plans every time, is break. We've got Van Dijk and Matip there, we've got the wing play up the sides to overload the wings, which is where Burnley are really, really weak. It's how Palace beat them the other day, is down the wings. We have every asset there, I think, to be able to recycle play, and it's just about taking them opportunities. It's being clinical. You don't have to be clinical every single shot, but you need to put one of them away, two of them away, and we need to get back to that. I don't know what type of mentality shift that takes, especially with Mo Salah at the moment. He's not scored for I think it's like 5, 6, 7 games maybe. You've got to get back into that mentality of keep it going. It's how we beat Everton at the end. We didn't stop. The fans need to know this. We need to not get nervy. When it wasn't nervy the other day when we beat Watford 5-0, because from the off, we went and we believed.
And that's it. That's what happens when you score a goal on the 10 minutes, and 20 minutes, and you just sort of grind through the gears. Yeah. And it's a massively important game. Just for a bit of perspective, the team that beat Burnley last time out, right, got Alisson in goal, Joe Gomez at right back, Matip, Virgil, Alberto Moreno played left back, Shaqiri right wing with Naby and Jordan Henderson as the two centre mids, James Milner on the left with Divock and Daniel Sturridge up front.
Yep.
Now, you can look at that and you can look at the team and go, well, we beat them 3-1. We should beat them again with probably a much stronger side. But what I will say is we brought Firmino and Salah on in that game because it was 1-1.
Yeah. And took Moreno off.
Took Moreno off. That's a big thing for me.
You know what I mean? So we've had to go very aggressive in that game to get those 3 points.
Yeah.
This time, I don't think there's any other hand to play for Jürgen. I don't think he's resting players in at this point of the season. He's putting his best side out there every single week. So, question to you then, Ross. Mm-hmm. What's his best side for this game, mate?
His best side is his strongest side. I think the only difference is from the weekend. is he needs to play a better attacking midfielder and do something different with that. I understand why he brought Lallana on now. I understand why he didn't start Shaqiri. I think this would be a much different game. You know, I think if people forget that playing Man United away, Watford and an Everton away in the space of a week to get the results that we did isn't bad results when you look at just the results alone. Okay, the performances, but that's why people are pissed off. Lallana came on because his defensive duties and he tracks back, which one led to believe that's why Shaqiri and Keita weren't playing there in such an end-to-end game. So as much as we can all say we would have done something different, well, if I picked different lottery numbers, I might have won the fucking lottery. So we don't know. Jürgen knows what he's doing. For this, I think it's completely different. Again, we're at home. The onus is us to go on attack. And he said, first 5 or 10 minutes, just go and take the game to him and kill it straight away. So for me, you know, the back four picks itself, obviously Lovren's not playing again because he's injured. Yeah. And I don't think he would have got in anyway, because Matip on form and his little mazy runs. He's going to do that against Burnley. I'm completely fine with that. Midfield three, I think, you know, Fabinho, Gini are the best at that. I wouldn't even contemplate looking at Bayern next week. Just go for this game right now. And then Keita, because he's had 2-3 games off. You know, he was brilliant against Bayern Munich in the first leg. Hasn't played since. I get him in there and in the front three, as usual.
Get Firmino back into this side.
Yeah, get him back in there. Yeah, again, I've said this before, you know, if you're 3-0 up, an hour in, you then have to take him off. That's when you can start looking towards a Bayern Munich game. But from the off, go and get this game done.
That's interesting as well. You said, obviously, Keita's missed some games. This, looking back at the highlights, I forgot how good Keita was against Burnley. I mean, he has that shot that just grazes the woodwork. Then there's that passage of play, if you remember, where there's sort of a massive scramble in the box. He has 3 shots in about 10 seconds.
One with his back heel.
And you're like, how has he not scored there? That was like, it's almost like he's cursed. But this is the perfect game for Keita, where if he's playing that 8 and he can pick it up deep and drive at players, this is the sort of the team that will let that happen. If they want to sit back, like we're saying, if they want to go for the draw, Keita's the perfect man that will sort of be that key to pick them apart. Because if it's not working down the wings, you give it to Keita and you make him drive like Matip does. So, yeah, I think Keita's got to be a main focal point in this
team. Tom, tactically, how do you think Liverpool look to play this game? Let's start tempo, actually, before we talk tactics. You know, is it important for Liverpool in front of the home crowd at Anfield on Sunday, early start?
Yeah.
Normally, the atmosphere is not great for those 12 o'clock kickoffs, but with 9 to go at Anfield, you're thinking it's going to be good. How do you think Liverpool approach it tempo-wise first?
I think you've got to go out there. You've got to maybe not start electric, but you've got to be creating chances. You've got to be getting players up the pitch and, yeah, feel your way into games. We've seen Liverpool do that many a time this season, where testing waters, seeing where the weaknesses are. But I think you've literally just got to pin them back. Start with just pin them back with your fullbacks and your wingers and just keep the ball passing. One-touch stuff, it's what Fabinho's fantastic at. We've done so many stat shows for the past few weeks where Fabinho's got the ball and he doesn't have more than 2 touches. Mm. And if he has more than 2 touches, it's because he has to stride forward and beat a man. And that's what we need him to be fantastic at on the day. Moving it quickly, making sure that... Because we've seen so many times that when we slow down the play, the crowd starts to dampen down, the game starts to get a bit weird, and then the crowd, because it's dampened down, the little insecurities start coming out, and instead of singing and drowning all them insecurities out, which is what we did against Watford and Bournemouth, it's like, oh, that pass nearly went to that player. It nearly went to him, it doesn't matter, but because everyone's dampened, it's heightened, and I really feel like... Go at them, show them that they're in a game, remind them why Anfield is a fortress, remind them why most teams do not want to come to Anfield. And no doubt in my mind, we'll score a few. And then as soon as that happens, the Anfield crowd needs to roar again. Every goal, we need to be baying for another one. We need to be wanting them to go home, crying, singing, show them the way to go home. That's how it needs to be every single game.
I think this is a game where you can get the fullbacks up the pitch. Yeah. Whereas I don't think Man United and Everton were, like you on your stats and tactics show. When you've got the quality on the counter-attack, that's the difference. I'm not saying Burnley are shite, but they've got two large forwards who...
We're talking Barnes and Woody.
But they're not very fast either, are they? So they're going to play long balls up. Virgil and Matip will eat that up all day. They're going to play across the floor. We've got the midfield to drop back in when we've got the Trent and Robert go forward, if they're the ones who play. And equally, like you just said, if you pin them back, then you're creating space either side for Fabinho to spray balls.
No, I agree. I think, but I hope Liverpool don't get nervous if they don't get the breakthrough, because I think that. You know, and I speak about the fans as well. I think sometimes you've got to remember that the game's like 90 plus long. Yeah. And that's important. And it just, one thing that I've noticed, I think, over the last couple of weeks is, and it's very important when you play a side like Burnley, actually, because if you start fast and you throw the kitchen sink at them and they get to half time, you become unconfident and they become so much more confident for it. And I think you almost need to create chances and go in, maybe not with a kitchen sink, but a spatula or a fucking whisk or something like that. You know what I mean? Not the entire kitchen sink,
just a microwave.
But to know that if they get to half time, you haven't thrown absolutely everything at them. And then when you come out, then bring the sink with your second half and make sure that, you know, and they go, shit. Because that's what we were doing earlier in the season. We were breaking teams down without breaking a sweat.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's what we need to get back to. And that's the thing that will kill their confidence and their hope off. Okay, so we're going to have a little look at a video that we did with the newsroom on the redmentv.com. I did this with Lizzie Doyle from the Anfield Wrap. It's absolutely fantastic. Here's her view on the title race so far.
It's been much publicised that Liverpool are bottling it and all that crap. One of the things that I want to know from you is, where are you at the moment? Like, is your head fully on or does it need a wobble?
It's on. It's absolutely on, but it's realistic. I had a bit of a barney with my dad after Everton, because the second the whistle blew, it was, oh yeah, but in August. And I went, don't. I said, do not start that conversation with me now on this full-time whistle. I said, we're a different team now than what we were at the start of the season. Like, I don't want to hear that argument again. But what I will say is, have a bit of perspective. Like, you could look at it as though we were 7 points clear and now we're a point behind. You know, that's all happened in the space of 9 games. We've got 9 games left. You know, City was 7 points behind. 7 points behind and have managed to go a point ahead. We've got 9 games left. Liverpool are 1 point behind. It takes one slip up from Man City and Liverpool can get back on top again. This title race is not easy. And I think the reason that we're all panicking, and I'm going to say it's because we're not used to it.
Yeah.
We're not used to it. We don't know what it's like to be challenging for titles. The 13, 14 one just felt like a bit of a fluke. 08-09.
It was a free hit, that, wasn't it?
Yeah, and I would go as far as to say 08-09 was a little bit more realistic than 13-14. 13-14, everyone was just so desperate to win it for Steven Gerrard, and it was all about how Luis Suarez was playing, which was, you know, affecting how our chances of winning a title. And what I will say is just keep your heads. 9 games is a lot of football. It's a lot of football.
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out of pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. JD Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For JD Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
So, preferred 11s next. They're all the same. They're all the same. Yay.
It's the best team.
I think for this game it is the best team. But it's not the team that we've put out the last few weeks, obviously injuries aside and stuff like that. Ross, we'll start with you, mate. Mm-hmm. Tell you what, you go through the defence, you'll go through the midfield, you go through the attack, we'll do it
you
like that.
You can have the manager.
I'll do the goalkeeper, Alisson. Ross?
Cool. Trent, back at right back. Because he's right back, we've got his fit. Virgil and Matip, they're in centre half, so we've got fit. And Robbo, because who's going to put Moreno in there, really?
Last time against Burnley, Ross?
Got took off last time against Burnley.
I think consistency is the key. And I've said this even from the beginning of the season. Even your centre halves now, again, I said before, even if Lovren was fit, he wouldn't start for me. I think having that communication between your centre-halves and your goalkeeper is always important, but the whole back four now, I think we've got it down to a T. You know, as much as people are saying that, you know, we didn't beat Man United, we didn't beat Everton, or Leicester, West Ham, whatever, how many goals did we concede? One.
Well, listen, look, Bayern Munich, Man United, Watford, Everton, no goals conceded.
Yeah. There you go.
And that's, so, and that's a back five.
And it's one of the things that I kind of helped get through past the Everton thing of going, years gone by, we've relied on our forwards, but we had a shit defence, so, you know, we might have lost that game, you never know. Now, it doesn't even worry me. You know, the amount of times that Everton did attack was always snuffed out. Whatever they tried was snuffed out, and I think it'll be exactly the same against Burnley. He said, Barnes and Wood, did they play them to? Well, what, he's going to lump the ball up to Virgil, and he's going to head it away. Play goes to four, he's just going to run past him, because you can't run past him, can you?
No.
Which was a year ago.
It's not, it's also not allowed.
Yeah, well, it was like Kylian Mbappe, wasn't it? 366 days ago, I think it was, and Mbappe dribbled past him, no one else since then. And that was in Netherlands versus France. He's not been dribbled past this season in Liverpool's defence. Unbelievable.
That's insane.
Stupid nuts.
I'm just going to touch on the midfield. But
hello.
I said
are you bringing into my section?
Yeah, because I said this was a talking point. I have a 4-2-3-1.
No, you're not, Ross.
A
4-3-1.
I've gone for Fabinho.
You get a chance. You don't have to whisper.
You've got a mic anyway. Everyone's going to hear you.
That was the point.
You've got a Fabinho. I've gone.
No, you've got a Fabinho.
I've gone Fabinho because I think he's the best six. Because I actually put a 4-3-3 down because I'm used to seeing that now. So for some reason, 4-2-3-1's completely left my head. So Fabinho's gone down because I think he's the first midfielder on the team sheet. He's the most dynamic. Got the most to his game. Defensively and attacking-wise, I think he's the full package. Gini, because he's the most reliable guy we've got. He's on paper the most consistent, best. And I reckon if we went back through our amount of the matches that we've done this season, he's probably the one that's been in there most for this season. So he's got to be in. And Keita, like we spoke about earlier, he's the amalgam. He's the question mark. They barely know how he plays. They're going to be scared of him. They know the danger that he possesses. And if they want to crowd that midfield to not let Keita have the ball, opens up space for the wings. So it's sort of having him in that team makes them have to make a choice. It forces their hand. So I think he's got to be in that
team. Okay, and come back to you then, Ross. I think, you know, Bailey's got it down as a 4-3-3. Are you sticking with 4-3-3 or going 4-2-3-1?
I'm going both because I think it is fluid formation. I think you have to. It's game management for me. You know, if you're winning or you're going for a goal, well, you can risk someone else going forward, and you've got Fabinho who sits back, and you've been both bomb forward. If you're trying to defend or you haven't got possession of the ball, well, you have 4-3-3 then, and just do your defensive duties to go to win the ball back. And again, it's same. Well, I'm going to jump on the front three now. As
no,
well.
You won't.
I will.
No, Tom, do the forwards. Shut him up.
Right. It's got to be the normal front three.
There you go, back to Ross.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think even at times, they know each other so well, you can put them in positions or pigeonhole them in places, and that's kind of fluid as well. Because
Tom, back to you.
Yeah, pigeonhole. No, yeah. I mean, front three, no one else playing left wing, it's got to be Mane. The only thing is, would you put a Shaqiri in and then you put Firmino in the 10 and you put Salah up top? I wouldn't do that for this game purely because, again, on the stats and tactics, if you haven't seen them, go and watch them because it's opened my eyes to a lot of how we play. And I'll see it on the pitch, but then to have it backed up on a second viewing and to see the stats behind it about why we do it, it's really opened my eyes. The overlap and run where Trent is taking that left back and then Salah's free and it gives him so much space. It's why we scored 5 against Watford. Salah didn't get a goal, but he was tormenting them all game.
18 dribbles.
Oh, 18 dribbles. Obviously, I think it was 12 successful or something like that. So obviously not 18 successful, but he's tormenting people. It's pulling 2, maybe even 3 men across there. And all right, maybe Salah won't score, maybe he's not had his shooting boots on, but that's a massive reason why we've scored so many goals. Obviously, 0-0, 0-0, blah, 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 forget about that. But, you know, it is a massive point, but it's one of them where
it doesn't fit my agenda.
Exactly. But I really feel like you give Salah a bit of running room, he's going to go at them. Bobby Firmino needs to come back in the side. Like, he came on against Everton, and you can say he didn't have a massive impact. As soon as he came on, he created something. He went over to the right. They were all over the place, and Salah and Mane, unfortunately, went for the same ball over the top. And if they hadn't done, Mane puts it to Salah, who's in the middle, and then he scores. And he's a difference maker for me, Roberto Firmino. And I wouldn't say we've massively missed him, but you can see just how much he brings to the squad.
One thing I want to talk about, and listen, I'm playing devil's advocate here because I don't believe he should start. I'm with you guys. Everybody knows I've picked the same side.
I should have mentioned Divock.
Yeah, I think I am going to mention Divock, mate. I think, you know, I thought his last two performances have been really good. I thought he was one of the better players against Everton. I thought he worked so hard. But that's not. But here's the thing: we're a squad going for the title. There's no room for niceties in this, and he isn't in our best 11, so he doesn't get into this side at the moment. But he's the guy who I think. He's one of those ones that if it's not going to plan, I'd be looking to bring him on into this game rather than a Shaqiri or something. I don't know what happened with Shaqiri.
Why not Shaqiri?
Well, he came off the bench, didn't he, to score against him the first time, 92nd minute.
Yeah.
He gets that ball over the top, lovely finish for his third goal of the season, which was that made his namesake of he's the big substitute for us this season. And you're right, I don't know what's happened to him.
I think he comes on as sub in this game. Going back to what I said before about the Everton United, the quality and the counter-attack, I don't think Klopp can rely on him to do his job properly. In that sense of tracking back, because as soon as he came against Man United, when he did come on, he went ballistic at him within the space of a minute for not doing it. And you can't afford to do that. So, as much as you say you want to bring an attacker on, you've got to do your defensive duties as well. So, I don't think Burnley have got that quality in counter attack. I'll probably learn to eat me fucking words at some point. But
touch that chair, Lee.
Yeah. It'll be fine. I think he will come on in this sense. And he's so much better when he comes on as a substitute as well.
Even so you're saying he will come on?
I think he will come on. In this game, I think he will do, but I don't think he does doing against Everton United because of the quality and counter-attack and the pressure in the games.
I agree with you, but just for a point of fact, he's had a thigh strain over the last couple of weeks as well.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
That's a big strain.
So I don't know whether that's impacted his lack of minutes or whatever. Like, but the Shaqiri one's interesting for me because pre-thigh strain, he'd gone off the boil. It was just as simple as that for me.
Yeah.
You know, and maybe there will be a large part where you think he might not be trusted by Klopp, but when a player's gone off the boil, why introduce him?
It's true. I mean, you're saying about not throwing the kitchen sink at it, first half. I think Origi and Shaqiri coming on are good. I mean, we've got no defenders on the bench, really. If a centre-back goes down, it's Fabinho shifting back, and then you put Hendo in the six, and you mess around. So I don't know why I brought that up. But in terms of our bench, it's just going to be full of attackers and attacking-style midfielders, I feel. And that's one positive, is if we really are at the end of it, and it's nil-nil, and we've got 20 to go, I think you might take Genie off and put a Shaqiri on and go with some mad 4-1-4-1 or something like that, and just throw everything at it.
I think we might have to. I think I genuinely believe this is must win for Liverpool's title dreams.
I said it earlier. I think the next team to lose a game loses the title, for me.
In any game.
In any of these last nine games between Liverpool and City.
Interesting take. So listen, let's have a little focus on Burnley before we do rival fixtures and stuff. They've lost the last two games. They lost 3-1 to Crystal Palace at home. They lost away to Newcastle United as well.
Yeah.
Newcastle obviously in a bit of an upturn of form recently. Prior to that, they beat Spurs 2-1 at home. Mm-hmm. Beat Brighton away and they drew with Southampton. So drawn 1, 1-2, lost 2 in reverse fixture order. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Burnley's home form has been much better than their away form. I think they've turned it round a lot, you know, over the last couple of months. Sean Dyche has got them, you know, out of the relegation zone first and foremost, and now they're looking upwards and maybe not as much over their shoulder, as it were. Ashley Barnes has got 9 goals and 2 assists, and then you're looking at Chris Wood with 8 goals. You know, they're very much the danger men. Liverpool will have to be careful for that. But getting on to our rival fixtures then, Spurs, who, you know, 9 points behind us at this point.
Thanks to Burnley.
It's fucking madness, mate. You know, they play 3:00 against Southampton. Man City in the big one on Saturday night play at 5:30 versus Watford.
Mm-hmm.
On paper, that's a City win. Well, footy.
I don't know.
Well, I was talking about this when we had this in the list. They've got Laporte out, Stones out, De Bruyne out, Fernandinho out, right? And that's on basically Fernandinho and Laporte are back after the international break. So if you're thinking about this game, and I really feel like this is Watford's chance. If you think about the midfield, who is City playing the midfield? Gundogan, David Silva, Bernardo Silva.
Yeah, they sound shit.
Oh no, they're fantastic. But if you're coming up against Watford, who've got a great midfield, look, I know we battered them 5-0.
But an aggressive midfield.
It's a very, very strong, physical midfield. If you're coming up against that, look, you expect City to win. They're fantastic. Mm-hmm. They can beat anyone on the day, regardless of them four players going out. But if you think, again, with Troy Deeney up top as well, battling against companies, fantastic. Otamendi's a great defender as well. But it's not first-team stuff. It's not like Fabian Delph as well, there's a slight doubt he's probably going to play. But,
To be fair, Zinchenko has been man of the match the last two games for Manchester City. Play.
There you go.
And he's been playing left back, you know what I mean? This is the quality of their squad at the moment.
But I think this is the one where they could drop points if they do. They've got Palace, I think, after the international break.
And United away.
You know what I mean? But at that point, they're full strength again. This is the chance.
A question for all of you, actually. I asked Lizzie this on the Newsroom podcast, and I wasn't happy with the answer. I'm kidding. I'm actually just genuinely interested. Mm-hmm. Did our draw against United look better for them beating PSG?
PSG squandered loads of chances.
Because remember, Tom, hang on a minute, remember... They had a few injuries to the midfield.
Oh, it's true.
They had even more against PSG. They had fucking 10 first teamers.
My mates were United fans, said they finished the game with two players I'd never heard of in my
life. Greenwood and Chong?
Chong, yeah. And I was like, against PSG.
I know they classed them too. Have you not heard of them?
That Greenwood, an under-18s revelation, apparently, like you're talking 20, 30 goals a season, jobby. But I don't think he even got a touch. That Chong come on and actually didn't have a very good game for United.
He hit the ball away a few times, didn't he?
That Pereira has been...
Pereira's been all right. But the question's still out there. No one's answered it. Is our draw better for seeing what they've done since?
Let's say yes, so I feel better.
Okay,
I think that with the Solskjaer sort of thing that they've got going on at the minute, like when Kenny came in for us and you have sort of that resurgence under an icon almost, it gives me hope because I hope that he gets the job and that sort of crumbles away in the end.
Do you know what? I was so bought into that 3 weeks ago. I was so bored.
Are you convinced he's a good manager?
I think he might be a good manager.
Fair play then.
And you know what? I live to be proven wrong, especially when it comes to this.
Yeah.
Ross, what do you think?
No.
It's not a better result. No. Fucking hell, mate.
Why would you think just to be different?
I don't answer them, I'm asking the questions.
That's why he does the newsroom.
Sunday, us versus Watford, Burnley midday, Chelsea Wolves 2:05, and a very big game in the hunt for top four. Arsenal versus United.
Wow, 6-pointer.
Thankfully, not in a race that we're in.
That's it, I don't care. I'm literally just watching the City games from now on. I'm not even going to watch them, actually.
Don't watch them.
I might watch that one just to see what our Watford do, and as soon as City score two, I'll be like...
City at City games.
So I will see you at 5:32 when City have scored a goal against Watford.
That's it. When Chelsea went up against City, I was like, oh, come on. Oh.
It's just not worth it. Yeah. It's no good. Because here's the thing. When it was a three-horse title race, only a week or so ago when Tottenham was still in it, Liverpool win, and that's supposed to be your weekend, mate.
Mm-hmm.
But Spurs and City win, and you've lost twice and won once. Yeah. I've come out of the weekend feeling worse than when I went into it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I'm just like, just ignore that shit. I can't be dealing with that. It's enough following one football team and having your hopes and dreams and pinned to that one football team. I don't need another two to follow as well.
Klopp will do the business. This team's going to do the business. I'm not worried.
Okay. Let's go to you on score predictions then.
4-0.
Okay.
4-0.
3-0.
2-0.
Clean sheets, I like it.
Yeah, there has to be a clean sheet. Listen, that's been the Uncentred Match build-up show. I was back yesterday with the Start 11 prediction show. I hope you check that one out. Spoilers, I picked the same side that we've all picked here today.
And the same T-shirt.
And...
Are you going to change it though?
No, I've got two of this, you know what I mean? It's a belted T-shirt though, isn't it? Available from theredmedtv.com. Click that little shop tab and it's on there, Fab Four. It's fantastic. Thank you very much for joining me. Thank you to Simon behind the camera. Thank you for subscribing to the Red Men TV. If you haven't subscribed right now, like the video, leave us your thoughts on anything we've said in the comment section below, and I will have seen you yesterday for the starting 11, but we will be back after we beat Burnley by 4-0, 4-0, 3-0 and 2-0. Thanks for watching. I'll see you next time. Ta-ra.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Ever Googled your own name? Prepare for a shock. because your personal info, including addresses and phone numbers, is out there, especially with the recent hacks at some big phone and healthcare companies. But here's where Aura steps in. Aura scans the dark web for your sensitive information and sends real-time alerts. Aura also actively requests that your information be removed from data broker sites, putting you back in control. Aura provides you with a complete online safety toolkit, credit and transaction monitoring, a secure password manager, a privacy-enhancing VPN, parental controls, and more. Try Aura risk-free with a 14-day trial at aura.com/safety. That's aura.com/safety. Rest easy with Aura. Visit aura.com/safety today.